T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe.
Hour two of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here, of course, till 6 o'clock. Big Mike Francesa will come your way. Pete Hoffman on the other side of the glass in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio. Nobody, nobody, nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
And joining us right now, the former head coach of your New York Jets, the former head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, played in the NFL, had a great career in the NFL, now the head coach at Arizona State, Coach Herm Edwards. Coach, Joe and Evan, how are you?
Coach, how are you?
I am well, guys, and hopefully you guys are well in your families. And can't thank all the first responders, the nurses, the medical people in this great country we have called the United States of America for their hard work and their diligence. It's something to behold, man. You watch them. It's like, the firemen. We always say when there's a fire, people are running away and the firemen are running into it.
Yep.
The same way these health providers are doing right now in our country. And you can't thank them enough
no
for
question.
Their service.
No man. Question. How are you well and your said. Family doing right now, Coach?
Well, I mean, it's like everybody else. We're all trying to wrap our head around this. I was telling my wife a couple of days ago, I said, we live in a world where it's noisy, and now all of a sudden everything is quiet. Mm-hmm. It's very quiet, and we don't know how to handle that. There's quiet moments during the day, a lot of quiet moments now. And probably because of New York, it's a big city, but you can imagine, yeah. I mean, you guys have done a marvelous job, and I think they're understanding it, to stay inside. And some of the pictures I see when you're watching television, they show New York and there's no one on the streets. It's like, whoa, yep. That's unusual.
Yeah, no question about it. Coach, you are certainly linked to football in New York, starting with the miracle at the Meadowlands and then, of course, the years you coached the Jets. But before I get to that, you've done a really terrific job at Arizona State. You've done a real good job there. How is it coaching the Sun Devils? It seems like you're having a really good time doing it as well.
Well, I am, and I'm really fortunate. You've got a great staff of men that helped me with this. One guy can't do it alone, and it's kind of ironic. Half my staff is NFL guys.
Right.
I convinced Marvin to start coaching again all of a sudden.
Right, Marvin Lewis, right?
Yeah, and I got Anthony Antonio Pierce here and Kevin Mawai. I got a bunch of guys, and it really helps you in the recruiting part of it. And young people are like professional guys. It's no different. They want to be taught. All these guys in college have ambitions and to play on Sunday, and only 2% of them are going to do it. But that's their lifelong dream. And I think we have a staff that has been there and that has played and coached there. That gives you a little bit of a head start per se. But it's still about coaching the game of football. It all boils down to that.
It's funny, Joe mentioned it, the miracle at the Meadowlands in 1978. It's kind of become a moment now that Giant fans can look back on and say, well, everything turned for the good after that. I mean, within 8 years, they're winning the Super Bowl. Within 3 years, they're back in the playoffs. For you in that moment, what's going through your mind? I'm assuming you're assuming what every Giant fan is thinking, which is Pisarcik's going to take a knee. This game is over and that's it. instead, that's not what happened. Take me through that moment and what was going through your mind.
Well, I think people see the play, but they don't realize what happened prior to that play. They had actually taken a knee, and then a little skirmish broke out. You know, their center was Clack, and Bill Berge was our middle linebacker, and he pushed Clack. And then the officials came in and had to stop the clock because there was a little skirmish going on. And the next time they ran the ball, you don't see all that. The next play you see is actually the fumble. So breaking the huddle, and I know the story pretty well because Joe Passarsi ended up coming to Philadelphia prior to after that season. You know, he went with us to the Super Bowl. And so as the story goes, there was an argument in the huddle of, well, we should run the ball again. Some guys were saying take a knee. You know, Joe said, we got to run the ball. Everyone's running the ball. We're going to run the ball. And so Zonka was in the huddle with the rest of those guys. And no, we ain't going to run the ball. We're going to take a knee. And so I'm on the side, on the right side of the formation. Everything's been tight. And, you know, God bless him. Kolar's passed away. And Kolar was standing there, and I shook his hand saying, you know, congratulations to you guys in a couple weeks. We're going to play him a couple weeks after that. And I'm just kind of looking, and Joe's kind of looking back at Zonka, and the clock is running down, the 42nd clock. And Clack hikes the ball a little bit sooner than Joe anticipates. So the ball's being bobbled right from the center quarterback exchange. Now, you don't see that on television. All you see is Joe kind of going back and trying to hand it off, and it gets off Zonka's hip. And so when I see all this happening, I kind of just come across the line of scrimmage. It's almost on block because everybody thinks they're taking a knee. And the ball hits the ground, and Joe was kind of reaching out for it. And in my brain, you know, you're just your instincts just say, you know, get it. And in my brain, I'm going to get on the first bounce. And it bounced pretty good, perfect bounce for me, and I got it. When I was picking up the ball on the first hop, I could hear Joe screaming out, oh, no, and I take off, you know, and I run in the end zone. Now, the story goes this now. You could imagine Coach Ramil was our coach. He's on the sideline. His back is turned away from the play because he's talking to Jaws and Carmichael and Wilburn, all those guys. He's telling them, hey, look, we might get one more play. And all of a sudden, guys are running past him. And he grabs one of the guys. He says, where are you going? He said, Coach, Herm just scored a touchdown. And he turned around and looked. Oh, Dick never saw the play.
Right.
He
never saw the play happen.
That's crazy. Never saw the play happen. We're talking to Coach Herman Edwards. And, Coach, of course, now, you in 2001, you take over the Jets. And you're the only guy. And we're huge Jet fans. Coach, I actually was in your office once talking when you were the coach of the Jets. And we'll get to some other things with that. But you're the only Jet coach ever to take them to the playoffs three times, Coach. I mean, you're the only one that ever did that.
Well, we're fortunate. We had a pretty good football team. Had some veteran guys, had a really good quarterback. And you know, Benny and then obviously Chad took over.
Yep,
and I think we had five playoff appearances or something like that. You know, counting the times we got in the playoffs and stuff like that. But we had a nice run, you know, and just – Could never get over the hump. A lot of it had to do with that guy that played in New England. You know, he's no longer there. He's Captain America. Yeah. He's down in Tampa Bay now. But we had a good team. We really did. And, you know, we had a veteran group and found a way to win a lot of football games.
I think to a lot of us, 2002 was special because winning the division is a very rare thing in Jet history.
It's only two times since the merger, Coach. You're one of the two guys. You and Parcells, that's it.
Right. And
well, I'm in good company if I'm with Bill.
That's right.
It's you and him.
And the way things turned that year was incredible because you go into that last game against Green Bay, and it doesn't look like you guys are going to win the division. And obviously, you go out and you destroy Green Bay. What happens elsewhere changes everything, too, with Miami against New England. Yep. Take me through that day and the emotional change, because that day at Giant Stadium was like a giant party celebrating the romp of Green Bay and winning the division.
Day. That was a great day, Coach.
Let's go from the start, though. Remember what our record was?
Oh, it was like 1-4, right?
We were 2-5.
2-5, right.
And we were going out to play the Chargers.
And that's when you made the switch, right?
Yeah.
You switched to Chad then, right?
Yeah,
right, Coach?
And we got on a roll, and that was it. We got rolling, man. And you know, from there, we just kind of got momentum. And you know, going into that game, we knew that, you know, hey, look, we just got to beat these guys. And once the score came across the screen, you know, that what had just transpired, and then all the players knew on the sideline and said, hey, man, all we got to do is win this game, and we win the division. And you could just see the energy in guys. And I can remember it was a cold night. It was a cold game, too. Kind of cold outside a little bit, you know, last game. And the energy on the sidelines, I didn't even have to say anything. The players knew it. They said, let's go win this division. And it was just a lot of fun to watch those guys.
There was one thing, though, that you failed to mention. You talk about the quarterback change and how things turned to 2-5, but that was also when you gave your most infamous post-game press conference
That's right.
"You play to win the game" speech. So do you give that any credit towards the turnaround, Coach?
Well, I think this, the greatest thing a coach could ever ask for is his team to trust him. And I can remember the speech was on a Tuesday. And no players were in the office. You know, no players. The quarterback maybe was in there, but players were off on Tuesdays. You guys know in the NFL.
Right.
I remember Wednesday when I went back to the meeting, and I got up and got ready to address the team. And when I got ready to say something, all the guys, you know, Chad and the guys stood up. They said, "Coach, we heard what you said. We got you." I said, I looked at him. I said, "Okay, let's go to work." I didn't even talk to him. Mm-hmm. And that was the week we were going to play Chargers. So it was, you know, they got it. They understood it. They knew where we were at, you know, and we went from there and got on a roll, got on a heck of a roll. I mean, we really did. Really played some really good football that year.
And, you know, that was, for me as a Jet fan, that's the best moment I've had since they moved from Shea Stadium, and the game I was at was there, was that moment when you guys beat the Packers. And then the next week was a big party because you played the Colts. And you destroyed them. You beat them like 41-0, Coach. I mean, it was just party from the kickoff on. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was the first time Peyton Manning was ever shut out, you know. Yeah. And I've seen Peyton since, you know, and he always looked at me and said, "You don't shut me out." Still mad at it. but I tell you what, it was one of those games where it just kind of, right in the beginning, I think it was a third down play, and we were going to throw a screen to Richie, our fullback, got his little screen pass, right? And he catches it, and all of a sudden, isn't this thing going to make 10 or 15 yards? You know, like 30, 40 yards for a touchdown. And then we kept going, and all of a sudden, we got on a roll, and we just, you know, we were on a roll. We played pretty good.
Did you know, because that also, when you mentioned the switch to Chad Pennington getting his first opportunity to start and played really well that year and obviously put together a hell of a career. What made that decision for you? I mean, Vinny's the guy. You'd been there for a few years. What ultimately made you go to a kid in Chad Pennington? I think it was his third year in the NFL at this point. Hadn't really played much. But what led you to that decision?
Well, you know, remember, we started off, and I think we had won a game or something. And we hit a rut. We lost to Jacksonville. There was a bad loss in Jacksonville. And at that point, you know, getting on the plane, I can remember sitting on the plane. I always sat in the back. I was sitting last seat in the back of the plane. And I asked the stewards to bring Coach Hackett back there. He's the offensive coordinator, so he comes back. And this is a true story. We're on the flight, you know, and he says, "Coach, what you got?" And I said, "We're going to make a switch." And he looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "We're going to switch quarterbacks." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You got to get him ready." And so then I called in Vinny the next day. And Vinny understood. And I said, "Vinny, hey, look, this is not about you. Look, we've done a bad job coaching. We've done a bad job playing." I said, "But Vinny, you know how this works." I said, "I could switch the offensive guard. I could bench a couple players." I said, "But when I switch the quarterback," he said, "Coach, I know. It sends a signal." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, We got to do something." And I said, "That's got to be the spark." And I had told Chad when I first became the head coach when he was a rookie, I said, "Look, Chad, right now," and everybody was trying to get this quarterback. I said, "No, Vinny's a quarterback." And I told Chad, and I said, "Chad, you got to get ready." I said, "Because there's going to come a time where I'm going to give you the ball, and you're going to be the guy." And so I talked to Vinny, and Chad came in a little bit later, and I told Chad, I said, "You're up, man. It's your team, Tim." And I said, "It's your ball." I said, "You got to go play now." And I said, "I don't want you to try to be a leader or anything." I said, "You got to go win games. If you win games, that's when you can lead." And sure enough, you know, it just kind of worked out well for us.
Talking to Coach Herman Edwards, of course, the current coach of Arizona State, of course, one of the top coaches in the history of the Jets. Now, Coach, I have to go here because 2004, and I had a hard time. I was a little upset with you here, Coach. I got to tell you, 2004, the Steeler game in Pittsburgh. Yeah. I am at this game, and of course, it turns out to be the Doug Bryan game. But I was. It was so – you guys played it so freaking conservative at the end of that game where you actually lost yardage trying to set up for the game-winning field goal with Brian and all of that. How about the game in Pittsburgh, the divisional game in 04, Coach?
Yeah, it was tough in the sense that Chad's shoulder went out on him midway through the second quarter. So he couldn't throw the ball.
Right.
Couldn't throw the ball. And so when you look at that game and you think about it, We scored a touchdown on defense. We ran a punt return back touchdown.
Yep. Reggie Tongan, and Santana.
There was not much offense. And I think some people lose sight of that. This was a defensive game.
Yep.
To say the least.
No, yeah, definitely.
Okay. And people say, you know, sometimes you still don't realize that. I'm saying it again. The only two touchdowns we scored now was a defensive touchdown and a punt return.
Yep.
So it's not like we were rolling up down the field offensively. So let's don't lose sight of that. And I think sometimes fans do because they get caught up in the moment. But that was the game. So the game was being played. We knew it was going to be that kind of game. We went in there knowing, hey, boys, this is going to be a low scoring affair now. I said, we ain't going to move it a whole lot, and we get it. And then Chad Sherman went back. Okay, and I'm going, okay, now I've got a problem. And so, you know, you do what you do, and you got an opportunity to win, and we had a field goal kicker that has never in his lifetime missed two field goals in one game, ever, his whole career. And so you sit there, and you do what you got to try to do, try to win it, and it doesn't work out. And I understand fans, and I get all that stuff, but I think sometimes you fail to realize our two touchdowns were scored that offensively.
No, I realize it. No, Coach, I believe me, I realize it.
What would have?
I got to tell you a quick story. Coach, can I tell you a quick story talking to Coach Herman Edwards? So I'm at the game in Pittsburgh with a good buddy of mine, right? And Brian is lining up for what's going to be, potentially the game-winning field goal. And my buddy and all the Steeler fans, I'm up in the upper deck in whatever the place is now, Three Rivers. There's no more Three Rivers in Heinz Field. And I'm sitting up there with my buddy, and the Steeler fans were all leaving because they're figuring Brian's going to make the field goal. And my buddy goes, "Where you going? He's not making this kick." I will never forget that.
And he's still your buddy.
I love my. I agreed with him. I didn't think he was making it either.
He ain't gonna make the kick.
No.
So you're
of course he's not.
He ain't gonna make the kick.
No, there was no doubt. There was no doubt in my mind. Brian was missing that kick. There was no doubt.
That's good to know. That's good to know. So I know where you're coming from now. So now you're telling on yourself, but I know where you're coming from. So it's
I was not happy with you, Coach. Coach, I was not happy with you after
that
game.
That's okay.
But I love you, though. I do love you.
You have a right to not be happy with me. There's probably times people aren't happy with you either, so it's okay. It always works. You know, after you get off your shows, everybody's not happy with you every day. So that's how life goes.
No, we know that.
Coach, but you know what, Coach? With that said.
Yes, sir.
With that said, I look back at those years, and I wish we had them now. I mean, with the situation the franchise is in now, like I said, you were a guy that three times took this team to the playoffs when no other coach ever did that. I always felt we had shots. Even I think it was 04. Wasn't 04 the year where Quincy Carter actually played like three or four games?
How about that?
No, I'm giving you credit for that. There you go.
I get it from Jets fans all the time. You know what they say? They say, Coach, you coached more playoff games than any coach in the history of the Jets.
Right.
Five of them. And I think sometimes, you know, and look, I'm not one to say anything. I do the best I can with what I have. I got to make decisions as a football coach. Hey, you know what? And you live with them. And you just, but I never cheated the football team. I don't think those football teams ever cheated our fans of how they were going to play. And that's all you can ask. That's all you can ask as a coach.
What would have the AFC Championship game looked like with an injured Chad Pennington going up against the Patriots? What would that have looked like?
Right.
It would have been interesting. I mean, you know, what we would have done, I mean, obviously, you know, you got to go with your next guy. But remember, we were a running team. We had Curtis Martin.
Yeah.
We were a play-action running football team and played pretty good defense that year. Had a pretty good defense now.
Yep.
You know, we
yep.
didn't give up a lot of points. I mean, just remember now. Guys, don't forget that series of events, we played the Rams in overtime. We go to San Diego playing another overtime game.
Yes. Yep.
And now
we're
against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. We played three overtime games in a row on the road.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yeah.
People forget about all that.
Yeah. No, you did. No,
that
you did.
Game. That
and the
game.
The Charger game, too, was that was a tremendous. Who was the linebacker?
Eric Barton.
Roughing the passer on Drew Brees.
Hey,
God, Coach.
But listen to this. This is the classy conversation we have, okay? And I love the guy. So he hits the quarterback.
Right.
When it's the fourth down, it's over.
Right.
We win.
Right.
And they get the penalty. And so he comes over there, and you know what I mean? You know, guys, you guys watch the other side. I don't go crazy. I'm pretty calm. You know, I'm pretty calm when the game is being played. And he walks over to me, and he looked, and he kind of puts his head down, and I looked at him. And I said, I know. Because, you know, we got it from the Raiders, right?
Right.
And so I tell him, I said, I know what happened. And he looks at me, his eyes get all open. I said, you thought you were with the Raiders again, didn't you? Because he gets the penalty.
Is that what you said?
He says, Coach. He says, Coach, we're going to win this game. I said, I know we're going to win this game. I said, don't even worry about it, man. We're going to beat these dudes. He said, don't worry about it. And that's what I said to the kid.
Right.
That was, you know,
that
what?
That kicker missed a field goal, too. If I'm
Nate
not Kading. Mistaken.
Yeah, in overtime.
Yeah, he missed a big field goal for the Chargers. Oh, yeah.
That game, in a lot of ways, Joe, was the Mark Gastineau game yes. All these years later, except the Jets won because Barton roughing the pass. Never forget it. There's no way. Herm, I thought the difference, Coach. I thought, no way the Jets win this game after this.
Yep.
One play later, Breeze is throwing a touchdown. I think Antonio Gates. I'm like, no way. And then Kading misses a kick. And then obviously Doug Bryan hit the game-winning field goal. And
there you go.
It was a hell of a win,
Coach.
I mean, we had some good ones.
Coach, look, no doubt about it. Why did you leave, Coach? The next year wasn't good. Your fifth year. Yeah, I think you guys went 4-12 that year, whatever it was.
We had 15 starters on IR or something like that.
Right.
We played
right.
with the 4-string quarterback. I got traded. I really didn't leave. It just became, I don't know what it became. It just all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, I was in Kansas City. It was like, huh? So,
but did you want out? Hey. Did you want out, Coach?
Nah, I don't know that so much. I just think it just worked out that way. For some reason, we just couldn't agree on some things, and it just worked out better. And look, and I love Woody Johnson, first man to ever give me a job as a head coach. Look, I always said this, guys. I said the first team I've ever played for as a player was the Eagles.
Right.
I'm always an Eagle. You guys know that.
Yep.
But the first team that I ever became a head coach for was the New York Jets. And let me tell you something, man. I bleed green, man. I was born in New Jersey, Fort Mama. My daughter was born in New York, you know, there in Long Island. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a Jets fan now. Everybody knows. I pull for them, man. I pull for them. I do. And those fans treated me great. I mean, fantastic. And it was an honor for me to coach there, guys. I'm going to say that. That's just me.
Well, Coach, let me tell you this. You were always very good to me. You one time, you wouldn't remember this. I was doing the overnights back then, and you invited me up to your office one morning. I'll never forget that. You were very nice to me, talked to me. We had a great conversation. And then after the Doug Bryan game, I don't know if you remember this, after the Doug Bryan game, you made some appearance in Manhattan, and I made sure I made it to that appearance, and I think I was kind of all over you. Do you remember that? Coach, do you remember that at all?
Yeah. It's okay. I get it, man. Look, fans are emotional. Fans are emotional. And I love that about fans. They're emotional. I don't take it personal. I don't take any of that stuff personal. I've been doing this too long.
No, I know.
I don't take anything personal. I don't. I really don't. Fans are emotional, and that's what makes fans so great. They're emotional. They're tied to their teams. And I get all that, man. That doesn't bother me. That's not one bit.
Well, I'll tell you, the Jets haven't seen the playoffs in 9 years, so we think back to your era.
We look at it as bring home back.
You still want to coach in the NFL?
Yeah, would you come back to the NFL, Coach? Would you come back?
I'm good, man. This is my last stand here, boys. I'm going to try to build a program here and hand it over to somebody else, and I'm good, man. I'll come back to watch some Jet games. I'll come back with you guys. You guys invite me up in your box. I'm watching Jet games.
You have to come to the house. Coach, you can come to the house anytime and watch a Jet game with me. I'd be honored for that, I can tell you right now.
I appreciate you guys, man.
We really appreciate it. Stay safe and keep up the good work
indeed,
at Arizona State.
Yes, indeed. Get the ASU to that Final Four, Coach.
That's important. We're trying to get to a Rose Bowl. That's what we're trying to do.
I hear you.
Thank you, Coach.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Coach, be well. Thank you so much.
You guys too. Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Herm Edwards, the former coach of the New York Jets and now doing a fine job at Arizona State. That was something.
Yep.
We'll come back. We'll get to some of your phone calls at 877-337-6666. Beningo and Roberts here in the afternoon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.